This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Welcome to Blakey's Boot Room, the number one Cardiff City podcast, brought to you by Wales Online.
Hello and welcome. What was meant to be a special edition of Blakey's Boot Room, the Cardiff City podcast in association with Giovanni's Restaurant. My name is Ben James. I'm joined as ever by the ever-present Nathan Blake, Paul Abandonato, and there's an empty seat to the left of me, which was reserved for a very special guest, wasn't it, Nathan?
Mr. Mohammed, yes. He's unable to make it due to other commitments and a bit of red tape and what have you, which is understandable. It's okay. I think he said yes without checking one or two things first, and he's obviously a massive listener, big lover, and a big shout out to him. So
shame you're not here, Jace, because it would have been lovely for you to see a top presenter in the form of Ben James.
Well, I tell you what,
like that, actually,
maybe he didn't come because there's not enough room for the two of you in one team.
No, none of that. Yes. Let's get on to Cardiff City.
Let's talk about egos now.
Which is Jace's first love.
I actually was referring to football because I view they're both a bit greedy.
Well, we played together a few times and nobody else would get the... He's the only person I've ever played with who's greedier than me. Let's put it that way. So enough of that. Let's move on to what matters.
Okay, let's move on. It's been a while since I presented a podcast. Neil Warnock's still manager, right?
I like it, Ben. I like it. Welcome to the world of entertainment. Very good, very good.
Let's talk about the new man then. He's nicely settled in. 4 points from two games.
Yeah, I'll let Paul take it away. Paul?
No, you go.
your podcast.
Listen, I don't think, I said this last night, I don't think you can judge. There's no point in, you know, you keep an eye on things, you hope to see improvements. Tactically, I think, obviously he wasn't really involved with the Charlton game. And, you know, we'll talk about that in a bit, but you know, tactically, you just think to yourself, they need a lot of work. And then last night, obviously, good result. Played okay. Didn't rip up many trees, but you wouldn't expect them to. He's been in a job just over a week, is it? So you're going to have to give the new manager time to adapt, to adjust, to get understand people understand him, where he works, what he wants to do. So these things take time. So I said last night, I think you've got to give it at least, not to judge him as a manager, but 4 to 6 weeks before you see some sort of change within how we play or not. It depends how he decides to approach it. But if he's going to change things, then you'll see it over the next, you know, by the early January, you should be able to see what he's trying to do start to appear on the football pitch also. So, you know, like I say, good start, good win, good draw away from home. I thought it was significant, Morrison not being a team. I thought that was a significant move. But that aside, we wait and we see.
What would I say about it? The club know my view because I've had conversation with them in private about it, and it's this, that I think it's a very underwhelming choice. I think as he's the manager, we now naturally get behind him, as would anybody else. Whoever is in that hot seat, you have to back the manager of Cardiff City to start with, but it is up to him, because he won't have much of a honeymoon period, because he's seen as an underwhelming choice. It's up to him to very quickly turn around results, you know, which to a degree he's doing at the moment. And so he's going to have to, the ball is very much in his court. I think the club accept that, and that's a fair critique, I think, from me on the whole situation. Now, straight away, I've got to be honest with you, he went down in my estimation with his team selection at Charlton, where he's recalled Gary Medina, play Callum Patterson at 10, because that just indicates route one, which is the last thing Cardiff need. They need to move away from that, as we've said consistently on the podcast all season, Blakey.
Absolutely.
To be fair, he's very quickly learned the lessons from that and put Lee Tomlin there against Stoke.
Yep.
Tomlin, again, just offering a completely different dynamic to anybody else in that team. And looking stronger, Blakey, I've got to say, whereas before, you know, it was very much in fits and starts, but he would then lose possession in a challenge with one person. He was actually getting past the challenges of three people on against Stoke. So you can see that's coming with match fitness and confidence. Yeah.
We'll probably touch deeper on those two in the second part of the pod.
Okay. But I mean, it's early days. He's drawn a game and won a game.
He's yet to lose one.
I know you just. I was off when Warnock was dismissed, Blakey, and I know you probably caught tabs with something you were saying on your excellent Boot Room show. But I really think this job should have gone to Craig Bellamy. It's pointless crying over spilt milk or whatever phrase you want to use. But Cardiff needed a completely new direction. Bellamy knows his club inside out. He's passionate for him. I think the fans would have fed off his passion and enthusiasm. He'd have brought through the academy youngsters, and I think it's a missed opportunity. However, we are where we are. They've chosen Neil Harris, who has experience at least, which Craig doesn't. And let's see how it goes. And of course, he deserves the backing of everybody, you know, to start with, because he, just as any incumbent in that job would deserve that backing. But he does need to very quickly get results moving in the right direction.
Yeah, and I wouldn't tend to disagree with you. What I would say is
makes a change.
Like, well, Bellas, you know, like when we touched on him before, I know. Like, there's this, the thing that hangs over him with the bullying and what have you, and, you know, the club's got to be seen to be doing the right thing. But what I would say is, Bella's from a different era. Bella's, you know, what I would say is, I know bullies, and bullies pick and choose their people they bully.
Bellas, can't imagine just anybody bullying you, Blakey.
But I know people. I haven't been bullied, but I know people who are bullies. But Bellas is like he's very much the same. It could be a 10-year-old kid or a 9-year-old woman. He's just got that fuse, like, do you know what I mean? And I've seen him a couple of times coaching. Good coach. The way, and there are times where you have to be aggressive with how you talk. Right, because, you know, when you get the first team level, you can't say to the manager, oh, you know, don't shout at me or anything like that. So, you know, I think where you say it would have been where you say it's a missed opportunity, I still think that Craig would have been better having a bit of time, and I think this would have come too soon for him. However, like I said on the last podcast, I think the best place for him is abroad. I think you go learn a different trade, learn a different skill, learn a different language, and then maybe, you know, if he can get a job or two, and then maybe come back into English football in 3 or 4 years' time. I think that's the best route for Craig, honestly. But
what I would say about Neil Harris,
what I would say as well, it's clearly is a bit of a burn on him, isn't it? Which how it all ended at Cardiff City was he probably feel that he could have got more support, put it that way.
Anyway, look, as I said, we are where we are. What I would say about Harris is that, to be fair, you know, there were people saying to me, well, he's going to make Warnock look like tiki-taka with the football that he was playing at Millwall. To be fair to him, Cardiff have played far more on the ground football
in the
last couple of games,
looking at sort of the tweets from Cardiff fans over the last couple of days. Obviously a lot of it is still long ball, but I've seen a lot of Cardiff fans saying it's refreshing to see them play with the ball on the deck,
and it is, but it just shows where we were under Warnock. What, you know, Neil, as I said before, Neil did a brilliant job for a couple of years, but he completely lost it this season and put in place a team that wasn't very good, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I agree with that. And the
microcosm of it was summed up for me in the last 20 minutes against Bristol City, which were his last 20 minutes in charge of Cardiff City, when he took off Tomlin, Cardiff's one creative player, and brought on Patterson, Cardiff 1-0 down, and it just became absolute route one, even by Neil's standards, for the last 20 minutes, with Ashley Williams and the Bristol defence just stood up to the challenge. They ended with a 1-0 win, and I just thought there, you know, that just summed it up for me, that was a microcosm, those 20 minutes, of what Cardiff have been this season under Neil Warnock, right? And I know we've discussed before Warnock ball on steroids, Blakey, which I think was a good phrase you came up with, but that was it for me. And at that moment, I thought, a change is needed here. And to be fair to the club, a change was made. Whoever instigated that change, a change was made at that point, and it was needed because those last 20 minutes. Tomlin, you know, it was nothing to do with the fitness, because Tomlin had actually just run back 70 yards to stop Bristol City scoring. They were through, and he was the one who ran back 70 yards when the defenders were up from a set piece, for an attacking set piece, to dispossess a Bristol player and stop a second goal being scored, you know? Yeah. And yet he's hauled off. I just found it mind-boggling. I really did, that you call off your most creative player, bring up... One thing I want to make clear as well is I've got nothing against Callum Patterson. I think he's got incredible qualities for that team, right? But not as the 10. No, Blake, you're looking at me with raised eyebrows because you think I'm critical of him. No, I think he's
if he plays 10, you needed someone, like when they had Bobby Reid, you need someone who's pacier to run off him, like they did in that Fulham win last year.
Well, he's not a 10, he's not a 9.
I'd
have no issue with him at 9. If you play him as a 10, he goes for the aerial balls, which means you need a runner behind.
I got no issue with him at 9, funnily enough, Blakey, compared to, I'd certainly rather him than Madine. We'll come on to that in a moment. But I got no issue with him at 9. I'd have no issue with him playing centre mid, Blakey. I think he could do that role very combatively. I'm not even convinced he can't be a right back still, which is where he originally was signed, the position he was originally signed for. but look, you know, so it's not a Patterson, but Patterson cannot play 10. That has to be, if they've got rid of Bobby Reid, that has to be Tomlin. And if they don't believe in Tomlin, as I said before, they've got to sign a proper playmaker for 10 in the January transfer window.
With the striker Glatzel, is you can't play Patterson because, you know, he's not a hold up man. He likes to look forward. So you need someone who can also play forward with him, don't you? Which is Tomlin.
It's funny how, since Neil's gone, you now see the confusion in the signings.
Yeah.
Do you understand what I mean? I've been saying it for a while. It just seemed to be signing people. There didn't seem to be no strategy in the signings because people were signing Volks. I haven't seen him. Haven't seen Volks. Can't make a decision, you know, what type of player he is, blah, 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 blah. I haven't seen him. So there was never some sort of plan into it. Just seemed to be more and more players. If you've got a plan, you do not let Bruno Manga go, right? You build a team around that person in your defense. How there was ever a question, Morrison before Manga, I don't know. I even remember having the with Danny Gabbs, and he was trying to say that Morrison was more important than Bamba. Like, you know, he's a central defender. I was like, what are you talking about? Do you know what I mean?
Especially when you knew that Bamba was out for such a long period.
Well, this was round then when Bamba was fit, we had this disagreement with Danny, right? And it was just like, but the whole thing, it it's hard to be critical of your own, right? Because regardless of which, I'm a Cardiff fan, right? So it's hard to then be critical. But it's no point not... My mum used to say, it's no point keeping your mouth shut and then complaining when it all goes pear-shaped. You know, if you see it, say it. If they're offended, well, try not to say it in an offensive manner. Just point it out, which is what we try and do. Now, who we sign and how we sign is based upon the manager's philosophy. I will bang on about it until I'm green in the face. The club has to have its own philosophy and sign players and management that fit into that. If they don't know how, give me a call. I'm available. I'll help you. No problem. But start there, because now you've got yourself into a pickle which is going to cost a lot of money, right?
Yeah.
The one thing that Neil got offended by was when I said it's going to take 2 to 3 years to change this around. No manager coming in right now is going to change this around overnight. It's going to take a while, first of all, to get the team and the players that are available to play in a certain way, right? Yeah. Which is going to come away from long ball.
Does that then lend itself to maybe Neil Harris, even though he's not the exciting appointment, being the right one? Because we've said about Warnock on steroids, is he the man to slowly wean them off that?
We don't know.
Bringing more footballing qualities, well, but also having that long ball.
We don't know because he played at Millwall and it was a very similar style to what Neil played, so we don't know. And then when people chuck at me, oh yeah, but he didn't have no money. Well, Chris Wilder never had a lot of money at Sheffield United, and they play a certain way, which is what I call great football.
Don't fall for that. Neil Warnock had a lot of money.
Well, we know that.
Championship stands, he had a lot of money. Well,
like 40-odd players he signed in 3 years.
In terms of the Harris thing that you mentioned about weaning them off Ben, it's a very, very good point, because that was at the time that the appointment was being made. This is what a lot of Cardiff fans were saying, that it's no good going for a Bellamy or a more purist manager, because
we've got
players who've got this way, can't play football. But then I came back with them, right? And I'm off the top of my head now, right? I think, I said, are you telling me that these players can't play football? And I started going through them. I mentioned Cameron Cox. I mentioned Joe Bennett. I mentioned Curtis Nelson, Sol Bamba, Marlon Pack, Bakuna stroke Riles to a degree, Mendes Lang, Junior Hoylett, Lee Tomlin, Robert Glatzel. You're telling me they can't play football, Blakey? Players.
What I'm telling you is
you get rid of the mindset of long ball, and those can play football.
That's easier
all
said than done.
Yeah.
Right? This is what happens when your muscle memory is set and you're under a bit of pressure, you revert to type.
Yeah.
Right? That's just
so
all
so what you're better, so what you're better doing there is play into a similar type and just instill in the confidence. So Cardiff have to play sort of hard and fast.
What you do is get someone who understands, and first of all, that the players are going to respect massively, right? Because that's a big thing. Take it from me. When a new manager comes in, you might not see it outside, but in the inside, the first thing you're doing is looking and going, is he up to our grade? I think that's what happened with Nathan Jones at Stoke, if I'm totally honest, right?
Yeah.
Is they were looking down at him as if to say, you've only come from Luton. So they don't even give his coaching method a chance, right? They're never fully buying into it. They'll say they will publicly, but in the dressing room, there's whispers around corner and all sorts, right? So what I would say is, the reason why I said Chris Hughton from probably 18 months ago, maybe a year ago, was because, right, so Chris doesn't play the most expansive football, but he understands what I've got. I'm not at the Man United or Liverpool, so I'm going to play with some sort of reserved control sort of thing. So what I would say, he's a step on from Neil. His Brighton team, when he was there, played some good football.
Yeah.
They played direct to Murray, right? But they played some good football once they got up to Murray. What I would liken it to is how Wales are playing right now, right? Direct to Kiefer Moore. Once you're in there half of the pitch, then get it down and play. And when you got that confidence, then you can play from the back and what have you, if you want. You pick and choose when right. So you're not Man City, where you constantly roll out, roll out. No matter what, we have to roll it out. We pick and choose, right? That's the type of manager I thought going to Chris, but his professionalism and his knowledge, not just as a coach, stroke manager, stroke player, was huge. Right, huge. And I think he's never gone anywhere and people haven't said, he did a really good job. You kind of respect him more after he's gone, like Newcastle fans. And Brighton, we'll see what happens there, but I thought he'd done a magnificent job for them. And I think if you're going to transition from Neil Warnock to Pep Guardiola,
Brighton.
You don't want to be a Pep Guardiola, I'm not saying that. A manager that plays free-flowing. I'd say Klopp is more likened Liverpool.
Yeah.
They're not keep ball. like Man City, they're at it. They're quick. They're fast. Three quick attackers. One holds the ball up very well. Midfield runners going beyond. Fullbacks getting beyond, getting up, putting pressure. Good, solid centre-back partnership. Very good keeper. That is kind of like the philosophy we should be trying to build at Cardiff City. But I felt Chris Hughton was the best man that I could see immediate around to do, to take you, to transition you. If you're saying you start at stage one with Neil Warnock and you want to end at stage three, then, you know, we've tried to go from one to three before and miss out two. It doesn't work. You need that transition. You need some sort of continuity whilst you're going across. And I agree with Paul. There are players who can play more football. But the problem is they haven't been asked to for an awful long time. And they've been told, right, this is the direct form we play. When you're picking Ben, when you're picking up Nathan, just follow him wherever he goes. Well, you know, those things, dealing with rotation, dealing with movement, dealing with overlap, and you can't afford to do that these days. So there's so much that needs to be considered when you're picking the manager. So we, like I said, you can't judge, but we keep our fingers crossed that it is the right man.
The example to look at, I guess, is the one down the M4, the guy who replaced Hughton at Brighton, the job he had before at a certain club. Swansea hadn't played that, you know, Brighton transitioned
to a more footballing style.
Exactly, yeah,
away from Chris, because they felt at the end of the season of the Premier League they were stagnated. So that transition is fine because Chris is like a middleman.
Yeah.
Right?
Let's be honest.
The
end of the season, Chris just became too risk averse. Probably. They just didn't want to take
When you're
a
not
risk.
Picking up results, you understand.
Exactly.
What I say is, when you're not picking up results, you don't go expansive. You lock in and you try and nick. That's what every manager will do. You know, whether you're Solskjaer, whether you're Klopp, whether you're, you know, you see Liverpool a couple of weeks ago before the international break, they couldn't do anything right. They ended up winning the game 2-1, but they sit. They don't let you, you know, they try and stop you from scoring first and then break on the counter.
But then, like, the point I was making is obviously when Potter took over at Swansea, Swansea is traditionally a more sort of football playing team, passing, but they'd had a few managers where they hadn't done that. Graham Potter had loads of teething problems. The amount of times they conceded goals from playing out from the back, and that's a Swansea. Cardiff maybe don't have the players to sort of carry those teething problems at the minute, do they?
Well, they have the experience. If you look at Bakuna, if you look at Pack, if you look at Rawls, if you look at Morrison, you look at Murphy, you look at Mendes, you look at Bamba, you look at Bennett. None of them are.
Morrison may have the experience, but does he have appearances, the does he have the, does he have the sort of the playing style to, if there's a high press?
Well, that's where you work tactically. This is what I think Cardiff have been lacking. Right, I look at the Charlton goal, which was, I think it was the second goal,
Jonathan Lecco.
Yeah, I thought, like I said, you could turn the Titanic sideways and drive it down that middle of the pitch, and there was two of them. All right, Bakuna, for me, shouldn't have gone out. Bakuna, stay in the middle. Pack, you slow down the man that's coming towards you on the touchline with the ball. Slow him up. Give Mendes, Bennett, Flint, give them all a chance to recover. Højlund, recover. So slow him down at that point. Once he passes inside, Bakuna, you do the same. Slow him down, middle of the goal. And then Lecco, you've got Peltier is too far on the right hand side, still spread like we're going forward. He needs to be behind where Bakuna was, maybe 10 yards behind him, next to Nelson, and then you two take care of the runner, which is Luko. Instead, Nelson goes forward, Pack's chasing Luko. Nelson's in no man's land, easy to slip a pass by him. Peltier is too wide. You could drive a Titanic down there. But unless you know those things, unless you see those things, you just think, oh, we got beat. No. We're getting beat ourselves because of the lack of tactical work. Yeah. Now, I hope Neil is going in and identifying those problems from Charlton, because he was at the game and is saying, right, lads, as a former player, I tell you, it's the most boring and mundane thing you do, the tactical work. But when it comes to Saturday and you're all in unison, you realise that's why we do it, right? So we need to improve intensity in our passing, intensity in our pressing, intensity in our tactical, both in possession, out of possession. There's so much to do, because I do believe that if you go on that where you're doing, say, two sessions a day for the next 5 or 6 weeks, I think by the end of December, January, you'd see a big change in Cardiff City and their approach and the way they set up and the way they play the game, all right? Because you've got pacey players, you've got centre forwards, you've got midfielders who can pass in Bakuna, Rowles, and Pack. So you've got creativity, you've got wingers who can create, and you've got defenders that can defend, and you've got a good goalkeeper. So you've got it. It's just how you put it together. And then when you put it together, tactically, right, you know, like you think, well, professional footballers, you should know. Yeah, okay, you can chuck that at me all day. But I tell you, they don't. You know, you have to work on it day in, day out, day in, day out.
Is there more for Harris to rip up defensively because of the sort of slightly unorthodox way that Cardiff defended under Warnock for such a long time with
a
fullback, you know, drift into midfield and then either one of the centre-backs coming out?
Yeah, that can happen. That
was a deliberate thing, wasn't it?
Yeah,
that was Blackwell's plan.
But I call that, in modern day, I call that quite lazy. Right? It's easy for me to say, just follow him. Paul, follow Ben. If he goes to the toilet, go with him. That's what they would say in the 90s. They don't say that anymore. All right? Because they know with Paul...
I'd hope they wouldn't.
Yeah.
HR be
Paul following Ben, right, is just a decoy. He's not running there because he wants the ball. He's decoy running you for the other Ben to come from the left-back spot and run into the hole and crucify you. So don't fall for it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, so that's what I'm saying. There's work to be done. And for me, they need to get up to speed with that tactical work.
Okay, there we go. Paul's deep in thought. So we'll take a little break and then we'll come back and talk about a certain two players who have made their way back into the team.
Subscribe to The Boot Room on iTunes or listen on walesonline.co.uk.
Okay, we're back on The Boot Room. Still just the two of us. that's a bit annoying. He'll enjoy listening to that. I said we're going to talk about Tomlin and Medine. I imagine thoughts are quite mixed on this podcast, so let's get into it. On bringing both of them back out the cold.
No issue with Tomlin. Tomlin needs to be the player the team is built around under the tactical umbrella that Blakey just mentioned. There can be then the Tomlin maverick within it that knits it all together. Clearly Harris sees something in Medine that Warnock saw in Medine in the early days. The fans
see,
Blakey's had 24 games now. He came for $6 million and hasn't scored a goal.
I said mixed, one good, one bad is what I meant.
That sounds really harsh, but those are the facts. You're the one who continually sits on this podcast and said a goal scorer's currency is goals.
Absolutely.
Particularly when you've come for $6 million, which is a lot of money for Cardiff City. So we'll come back to what I said in part one, that when people say Warnock wasn't given money, it's complete nonsense. He was given a lot of resource.
Yeah,
for Cardiff City,
should have used it more intelligently.
Look, it may be that Gary Medine suddenly flourishes and we see a player that we haven't seen hitherto at Cardiff City.
Do you see that?
Silence is deafening. I think... It's difficult for me because I've been a former striker. I know what it's like when you go through a bit of a confidence crisis with confidence. All players do, regardless of what position. So, you know, and it's nothing worse when you're bought to be the person putting the ball in the net and you haven't and you don't. It becomes very, very difficult, right? Not only, forget about running out to the fans. When you go home at night, after a Saturday night, Tuesday night, and you're thinking about maybe opportunities you should have taken, or runs you should have made, or headers you should have won, or whatever. It's soul destroying. So our thing here isn't to jump on people, it's to see how you can resolve that issue. So What I would say is, looking at Gary last night, for instance, I thought he put a good shift in. I thought he was really unlucky. Had a good run across his defender and, you know, keeper made a good save, right? Could have got his first goal. But I do think, you know, it has been a struggle for him. There's no doubt about that, right? And the point I would make is, if we play direct football and he's a target man, and it's not working, you have to ask whether, right, is it time to cut your losses or do you go again? Now, Neil Harris clearly thinks, give this lad another opportunity. Paul is obviously on the side of probably cut your losses, right? But stranger things have happened than people have turned the minds of many people. I give you Ryan Giggs, right? A lot of people were calling for his head.
I mean, as a player then?
As a manager, a lot of people calling for his head. Same with Coleman, a lot of people call it, but they've turned around people's perceptions of how they are. So, 24 opportunities, I know, I can feel Paul's heat, I can feel the look, but I would still say, look, it is a lot of money.
So
in transition, maybe he's better suited to a more footballing team. I don't think so. I think he'd be more suited to a direct team, and it hasn't happened. But personally, I would say, if I'm Neil Harris, I give it 5 or 6 games, and then I say, right, decision made, I'm off. If I'm at the club and I've seen what I've seen over the last year and a half, I probably would have moved him on by now.
I was a huge supporter of both Ryan Giggs and Chris Coleman myself, so I know what you mean, because I was getting in the neck for defending both of them from a section of the Welsh fan base, both on social media, in terms of letters to me, phone calls, all
sorts. Just remember, it's just an opinion.
So,
That was just me.
They were entitled to their opinion.
Absolutely,
over Giggs and Coleman, yeah? I was firmly of the opinion that they would both be a success. Unfortunately, I don't have the same vibes about Gary Medine at this moment in time. What he does have going for him is there is a new manager who clearly has got belief in him. He must have something that, we're not seeing hitherto to be worth $6 million.
That's not his fault, though. That's hard for a player when you have to carry the weight of a transfer fee. That's never your decision.
The other thing is that no other striker has really put their hand up to say, I am the undoubted number 9.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Bogle's got the potential to do it, but it's not quite happening. It clearly hasn't happened with Glatzel. And that's why, do you know what?
I think our best striker is Ward.
I'd be inclined to... I don't think it happens with Ward either. I would be inclined to put Callum Patterson back up there. Of those options.
I would say Ward's our best finisher and looks our most dangerous player when he plays in the 9 position.
But I do think that they might have to buy again in January, you know, to get a centre forward.
But here's the problem, right, Paul? So that's part of the problem, is we don't just go shopping.
How many of the last windows have they gone and got a striker?
Well, you just don't go shopping. I don't go to, supermarket and buy, toothpaste when I'm having a steak. It doesn't go together, does it?
Caviar and salmon instead, don't you, in the Blake household?
Or buy the most
£50 bottle of wine.
I'm trying to make the continuity point, right? So don't just go and buy for the sake of buying. Think to yourself, you're the club now. Don't just let the manager come and say, I need this, I need that, I need the other. The problem is, because of the lack of footballing knowledge at the club, they can't ask the question, okay, tell me how that's going to work. How is it going to fit in? Because there was many signings we signed over the last 2 years, and I thought, how does that fit in? Murphy, I would say Murphy's more inclined to be in a team that plays a lot more football. He's not inclined to be in a team that plays, a Route 1. Well, it's as simple as that. Reed was the same. It didn't make sense. You know what I mean? Okay, I've got to have these players who do this and do that. But by admission, none of them played.
Do you know?
Reed didn't play. Tomlin didn't play.
Yeah.
Anyone who was what you would deem as Murphy footballers, you know, they didn't play as much as the power pack players.
Let me throw another one at you then, because okay. I actually, just thinking about it, I actually think the best little cameo I saw from a Cardiff centre forward this season was for 30 odd minutes or so. Did Cardiff get a player sent off against Birmingham? I'm sure they did.
Against who?
Birmingham. Whatever. Anyway, I'm sure Mendes Lang, I thought it was Birmingham, but there was a game this season where Mendes Lang played for 25, 30 minutes up front on his own. And to be honest, he did a better job than anybody else this season because he was big and strong. And of course, he was quick, so he was running in behind onto the balls. But you don't see that as a permanent
solution,
do you? Because you've advocated Josh Murphy for that role before.
It's like, I thought Josh Murphy might have ended up as a nine, watching him play.
Mm.
But that was before he came here. Now I've watched him play. I would say no.
And Mendes, you wouldn't see that as a scenario?
I wouldn't see that as a nine. We need a nine who's a nine.
Is it worth what you lose with Mendes as well? Shifting into that role?
Yeah, I just think Mendes is an out-and-out winger. I think he could cover as a nine. But those sorts of things have to happen when you're young. You know, that transition. Once you get past 24, 25, you're kind of set. You know, there's not many people 25, 26 and go from, you know, right wing centre forward or centre forward to centre mid or 10 or something like that. So that doesn't happen very often. But I see where Paul's going. I think as a cover,
Can we just quickly touch on the second part of that equation, which has been underplayed here, though, Ben, which is Lee Tomlin.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Blakey and I have consistently batted Tomlin's corner on this show this season. I think Warnock's treatment of him was abysmal, to be perfectly honest with you, when Tomlin needs to be built up and made,
especially when he's someone you buy,
the kingpin around which that team revolved, and especially when they've got rid of Bobby Reid, or Bobby Reid has left. And I, you know, it was interesting that Harris didn't pick him to start, but he sent him on reasonably early against Charlton to rescue the game, and he helped do that. And to be fair, he then played him for probably more minutes than Tomlin has had all season against Stoke before he came off in about the 82nd minute or something like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's chicken and the egg. The only way you're going to get that match fitness is to play the games. And I just really hope that they stick with Tomlin now. You could see when he came off, it was different to when the other people came off against Stoke. There was a special love from the Cardiff fans when Tomlin came off. There was the chant of, you know, Lee Tomlin is a blue.
Yeah.
The whole ground pretty much stood off because they appreciated that he offered something different to any other player. And I just hope that Neil sticks with Tomlin now and he can offer a spark and an inventiveness and a creativity. And do you know what, Blakey? A basic keep hold of possession that has been lacking elsewhere.
Yeah, but you need other players to do that. And watching us at the moment, that is something we've got to transition to. One, there was a moment last night where Bennett stepped in front, anticipation, great.
Yeah.
Over the halfway line, inside the opposition half, he steps in front, anticipates the pass, gets it, he's in motion, looks up, there's nothing ahead of him, right? Nothing ahead of him. Now, in transition, what you've got to understand is, mate, you're, as a striker, I remember Bolton, Colin Todd say all the time, as soon as you win it, bang, you're alive, right? You're looking to score within 10 seconds if you can. So what I see often with us is we win the ball, we give up possession a lot. We can't get past five passes without, you know, giving the ball away. We're not confident at the moment to pass the ball out. You know, there was a moment last night when Nelson, you know, the boys have had two or three passes in midfield, gone back to Nelson. He's just gone wham, straight forwards. I was in the first half and I could see them saying, like, you know, they've got to be confident to play back into midfield and still, play wide. And
still a zillion times better than it has been this season.
Yeah. But my point
says everything.
Which my point is, you know, you've got to have that confidence to be able to play through midfield and what have you, right? So, you know, last night, when Bennett does what he does, you know, people have got to come alive. You know, Mendes is on the right. He's got to come alive. He's got to be thinking, right, I'm going to come across, try and act as a centre forward, make a run across, maybe in behind, kind of like Lico did against us at Charlton, get across and in behind for a goal. Right, centre mid, right, Bakuna, boom, he comes alive. Tomlin, boom, he comes alive. Hoylett, boom, he comes alive. Everyone just comes alive and you're just trying to attack because you won the ball in such a good position that you've got to try and take advantage and at least end up with a shot on goal or a corner. And that is where I think, whereas before we would rely on throw-ins and corners to build possession, that is what we've got to start transitioning to. You know, sitting, reading the pass, winning the ball, breaking stuff up, and then playing. Out you come with pace, with speed, but with intelligence as well.
Exactly the moment that you meant, because it happened midway through the second half. It was brilliant play from Bennett. Who's become a big second half player, by the way, Blakey. Seems to reserve his best for the second half. Sort of won that ball centre circle, charged through a couple of players, and he got right to the edge of the box and just stuttered. And the reason for the stutter would be what you're saying, that there was perhaps a lack of options for him.
There was nothing for him.
And he sort of went down and was hoping for a free kick.
Yeah, and then he just got the ball and played back out, played away. But yeah, transition these days, it's huge in football when you win it. You know, again, Cardiff only had 35% possession last night. 60% of their passes completed. You know, those are stats that you have to improve on, right? Because if I got the ball and you haven't, you can't score. I always say it. You know, that's why possession is 9/10 of the law. So they need to improve across the pitch. But new manager, new hope, give it time. Let's see what happens.
I was going to say, you said before on the podcast, it takes time to bring that in. You mentioned Ryan Giggs and what he's done with Kiefer Moore, which is a way of using a big man to play, as you say, in the right areas. You look at how Wales played in those last few games. They went up to the big man, win the aerial battle, and then you've got players around him who do come alive.
Yeah. It's not happening for Cardiff.
I was going to say, surely that's what...
Yeah, so I watched Medine last night for a while because I was commentating. And what I would say to Gary is... there was probably 5 or 6 occasions I could count where the ball would come out, say, to the right, to Peltz, who's been superb, by the way, to Peltz, or sometimes Bakuna's right side, or sometimes Mendes Lang, and they're looking, as they look up, they're expecting to see Medine either on the corner of the 18-yard box or on the corner of the arc of the right side of the 18-yard box. Right, and he's not there. He's on the far post. Right, what I would say to Gary is start centrally all the time and just think to yourself, I can go 15 yards left and 15 yards right, but I'm always available. And as soon as I come in and I get involved in that final third, I get involved, I give it, or I pass it, or and then I make my way to the box. But what he's doing, he's already waiting. And if you look where Bakuna's goal come from, it was exactly that. It was a poor touch by Bakuna. And then Gary does a lovely little flick straight back into his path because Bakuna, even though he's had a poor touch, he's recognised it's going forward. He might win it. Let me make a run. It's that anticipation, it's funny how that snap, all of a sudden, both those players knew, bang, bang, from Bakuna's poor touch, and it ends up with a goal. So it's those situations and things like that that have to become the norm. And Gary has to think to himself, rather than I'm going to stay and wait for the big one to the far post, I'm going to get across the near. I'm going to score 6 goals a season just by little nicks at the front post.
Yeah.
Right? So work not right width of the 18-yard box all the time. You can go 5-6 yards short either side, but that's giving you like a good area to work in and come in short and what have you, but he needs to get more involved in the build-up play as well as just thinking when a cross comes in, I'm the target at the far post.
Because the way that Giggs played with Kiefer Moore and the people playing off him and playing in the right areas, that's probably how Cardiff played when it did click under Warnock. Is it just a case that was never often enough, because when you look at how Giggs sets up, you've got Aaron Ramsey who likes to, you know, make those late runs off strikers. You've got Dan James with pace, Gareth Bale. Cardiff don't have the right personnel to play off the big man. Lee Tomlin doesn't run off strikers. He likes to sit deep. So you're not getting that guy going past him.
Yeah, but you can have Murphy and Hoylett running in behind, or Murphy and Mendes. You know, there's ways to do it. What you have to understand also, Ben, is when you're in possession of the ball, this is something else with Cardiff. When you're in possession of the ball, what is your setup? You know, you don't leave yourself open to the counter attack, which Cardiff constantly do.
Because Wales have like Joe Allen, he's the shield. Him and Joe Morrell.
Right. So when Wales go forward in the Kiefer and it gets played down and it goes out to Bale or Ramsey or wherever, they're still. Yeah.
It's a calculated risk.
Well, you can get your fullbacks forward or one fullback forward if you choose, either or both. But then what you have that four quartet. You have that two midfielders and you have your two centre-backs. They can spread as a four. They can act as a square four, you know. But you have to understand that in order to keep possession, keep the opposition under pressure, when the ball comes out, like it did against final home game, my memory's
Hungary.
Against Hungary.
Yeah.
The amount of ball, it was just like, it was so easy because people go, oh, they can't get out. But it's not, it's the way you're set up. You've pushed them back so far, you've pushed their midfield into their back either, line either practically.
You or Kevin Radcliffe or Rob Phillips on the radio commentary, because I listened.
Yeah, it was
me.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Saying, you know, like you were talking about how Wales can't sustain this press.
Yeah.
But then the fact was they could because they weren't.
Well, it wasn't a press then.
Because it wasn't a press. You're just knocking it out. Because you're not giving Hungary the ball to work with.
And if it goes over Joe Allen's head, then it's falling to one of the centre backs who then gets it, gives it to Joe, or gives it wide. So you're constantly playing in the opposition half. Cardiff need to get to that. At the moment, that gets done to Cardiff a lot.
Yeah, I don't think the analogy is an apt one anyway, Ben, because it was, and Ryan knows my views of this because I was sharply critical in the summer, because in the summer he was playing a mix of Dan James, Harry Wilson and David Brooks up front in the defeats to Hungary and Croatia. And not only was that not fair on them because they can't play that role, it also negated their very strengths in when they've got ball to feet out wide or with facing play. They can't play with their backs to goal. It's not fair on them. And then lo and behold, he did the damn same thing again when Cardiff played Azerbaijan in September, this time with Tom Lawrence up front. It's the same scenario.
Yeah, and it's like the false nine.
And
it?
It's like, you know, it's like a, you know, you could see this. Wales needed a proper centre forward.
Exactly.
For me, Gareth Bale had to play there if he wants to keep his best players in the team. But failing that, I was arguing, look, this goes against the grain, but they're going to have Sam Vokes there because they need the sum of the parts
to
work.
They need a platform, right? They need a platform
and
to play off.
And then a light bulb moment came in a friendly against Belarus when Kiefer Moore, who I'd barely heard of up to that point, came in, did well, and it sort of all kicked off from there. And what he's doing is he's holding the ball up and he's occupying two centre-backs, which frees up Dan James and Gareth Bale to have one-on-ones with the full-backs and Ramsey in the last game, as you say, to run beyond. Now, it clearly has been needed. I think my fear is that Kiefer Moore will be found out quite quickly at international level, but we'll see, because you can't take that physicality away from him. He seems to
it's pretty simple.
But better centre back should know
if there's a higher quality. I remember playing against Nesta and Cannavaro was different to playing against other centre backs because they are so clued. Right, your intelligence level has to go up on how you're gonna play, how you're gonna make moves against.
But not that Kiefer Moore's got a bad first second touch, but a smarter centre back there knows you don't take him on physically. You drop back, you give him a yard.
Yeah,
well,
you don't take the man in the air.
The both games he's played and three games he's had, they've had one centre back who's dropping and one centre back who's going for the fight. Right now, if you've got any common sense, I played centre back for 1 year. Got any common sense, you get yourself in a position where he cannot grab you and feel you and hold you.
Yeah.
Nothing worse for a centre forward when he's not sure as the ball's travelling towards him whether you're going to come around him, step in front of him, come to the side of him, or wait to attach yourself last minute. It's nothing worse because he's feeling you. Now, what those centre backs haven't realised is that, you know, they're playing right into his hands. But for Kiefer, it's quite straightforward. The ball comes up to you, you get on your chest. You fight him. Well, you don't need skill to fight. Well, it is a skill, but you've been doing it all your life.
And
so
he's blessed with the...
You get it down and you pass it to one of your teammates. Or you go to the side, you pass it to the winger. Straightforward, then make your move to the box. That's what I'm trying to say about Medine. Involve yourself in the game, come out of the game. Don't stay out of the game and wait for the cross to come into you.
So
involve yourself in the game, become a part of you are the platform they have to play off.
So I'm saying that Cardiff have had that physical centre forward. They've got those players there, but for whatever reason, they're not playing. It's not working.
Well, that comes down to coaching. That comes down to tactical work on the training ground, week in, week out. And I don't think I'm wrong in saying, like, they were still having a day or 2 days off a week sometimes and things like that.
So more
Cardiff are not blessed with that
Cardiff's
position. Cardiff they need
forward,
the drill.
Cardiff centre forward doesn't have the luxury Moore has of holding the ball up and freeing James Ramsey or Bale. But of course, it's at a much lower level. And at this,
I can't let you get away with that. You know, you've got Junior Hoyland.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying.
You've got Mendes
at the lower level, they
Murphy.
Can do it.
It's not lower level.
Well, of course it is. It's not international football.
What are you
football,
saying? Those
Blake.
Three couldn't play at
they're not playing against.
Whoa! You're saying those three couldn't play at the international level?
They're not playing. They're not playing against Dijon
or for Ireland.
The Cardiff centre forward is not playing against Dejan Lovren and Croatia's centre backs, or you know, it's a completely different level. But at this level, I'm saying there's no reason why it shouldn't work. The basic principle of hold the ball up and free the wingers should work.
I think
I'm agreeing
both on the same
with
side
you
there.
On it.
I think you're both on the same side.
Okay. I think you're trying to pick an argument here that doesn't.
I thought you was dissing I thought you was trying to diss the championship players and saying like they couldn't play at that level, but like
level, they're clearly not of the quality of James, Bale, and Ramsey. Mm. But at this level, there's no reason why that basic ethos of centre forward holds ball up, gets into play, gets the wingers flying beyond the defenders. There's no reason why that can't work, but for whatever reason, it's not working or it hasn't been.
Yeah, because it's not.
Blake in agreement, shocker.
I would say because they're not drilled enough on it. That's all it comes down to, right?
Which is a concern when that was the best, most effective attack Warnock had.
Even in the Premier League, we were saying, like, final third, you know, where are the ideas? Where you give people little patterns, but then you say, right, you know, whatever comes to mind, Paul, you see, you play. Do you know what I mean? But that's never seemed to... That's why we haven't had a striker or strikers who've scored 10 plus goals for when was the last one to score more than 10 goals?
So I guess the question is, can Robert Glatzel fulfil that role? You know, let's not forget about Glatzel who came
I don't think he can
money.
Because he doesn't play back to goal, he plays facing goal, doesn't he? He's
more of a facing goal centre forward. I would say if the quality of the ball up is good, then there's no reason why he can't. He might not, you know. And you can grow with confidence. You look at someone like Tammy Abraham, who's not great with his back to goal, but over the goals of giving him that confidence, and also what it does, it makes the defender think, oh, I'm not going to get too tight at times. So they give you that space because of you've got 8 goals to your name, 9 goals to your name, 10 goals to your name. They give you more respect. So it could. What I'm saying is that's not his
natural
number one game, I wouldn't say. So, yeah.
So what was the end result in that? Was it Tomlin, yes? Medine, no?
Yeah, we did digress. Well, Paul was on it, wasn't he? He was saying yes to Tomlin, most definitely. And
I suppose the most fitting statement is...
No, whoever Medine.
The striker depends on who can play best with Tomlin. That's probably the given now, is it?
What I'm saying is I want Medine to show something that hasn't been hitherto with Cardiff City, and let's hope that can come through under the new manager.
Okay, there we go. We'll take a little break again, and then we'll be back with some Ask Blakey. Okay, we're back with Ask Blakey. Massive thank you for all your questions. Much appreciated. Let's get straight into them. First one comes from Hugh on Twitter. He asks about Joe Bennett's form. Does a professional need pressure on their place to perform at their best?
Could you just repeat that question? Sorry, Ben.
So, Joe Bennett, talking about Joe Bennett, does a professional footballer need sort of pressure on their place, competition, in order to perform
100%.
At their best?
Yeah, the pressure is not just from, okay, I'm a centre-forward, Paul's a centre-forward. It's not just the pressure coming from Paul. It's my pressure to go out and perform in front of 20,000 fans. It's pressure to score goals. It's pressure to keep hold of the ball, bring people into play. Most of us thrive on pressure. That's why we love it. That's a professional sportsman,
and it's hard to sustain on your own, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, in answer to the question, yeah, you do need pressure for places as well. Competition is healthy.
A bit like Paul Abbandonato and Jason Mohammed in a five-a-side football team, by the sounds of it.
Yeah. We play together at the Millennium Stadium, I should have you know.
Okay.
Big five-a-side pitch.
I told you.
Next question, another from Twitter, comes from the Blender Coach.
The Blender.
They ask about the future of Bamba and Morrison. Will they be able to adapt to Harris?
Oh, Harris plays what you would say very similar football to Warnock. So I've seen, I can only go off Millwall.
Yeah.
All right? I can't take judgment now for what he's doing now. All I can do is from yesteryear. So, you know, if he plays that way or intends to go a different direction, I still think Bamba's the best centre-back at the club, without a shadow.
Yep, I'd agree with that. Okay, Christian Jones writes...
Christian?
Do we need to start clearing out Warnock's lumpers? Brackets, Patterson, Flint, Bogle, to start evolving to a more passing game that would suit Glatzel, Ward and Tomlin?
Yes, I would adopt... if the new manager wanted to sign players, it would be under these conditions: a two out, one in, because the owner, I think, is spending too much money. Okay. So two out, one in, and then also you're going to have to convince me how that player is going to fit into what you're transitioning to. Right, because I think Neil Harris is saying himself, oh, we're going to play more football, so there's going to be a transition from where we were to where we're going. So it's no point you then coming to me and saying I want to sign A, and I know at Millwall that boy plays only a certain way or has played a certain way, and I haven't seen any evidence of him playing any other way. So that would be the stance I would adopt: two in, two out, one in. And also convince me how that player is fitting into your, not just today, but going forward next season,
yeah,
in transition.
And when earlier in this podcast I mentioned fans talking about, well, it had to be Neil Harris because Cardiff haven't got the players to be able to play football. I went through 9-10 players who can play football, and you jumped down my throat again. About muscle memory and things like that, which is a fair point. Yeah. What you didn't mention was how I subtly left out a number of players.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them are Warnock signings that I don't think can play football. Have terrific strengths, suited the Warnock way of playing, but if Cardiff are to evolve, I think maybe some of the points that Christian makes there are...
Do you take umbrage with the fact that Bogle was mentioned as one of those?
I don't see that with Bogle. I think Bogle's got ability, I think. I don't see that with Bogle, to be honest with you, but you know, if others do, fair enough. Listen, Bogle's not Kenneth Zahor. Bogle's not Ian Rush or Sergio Aguero, suddenly.
When you said he's not Kenneth Zahor, I was genuinely trying to figure out if that was a good or a bad thing.
Is that a good or bad thing?
And then I remembered what podcast I was on.
It's not gone too well for Kenneth.
I just felt he offered a better option than Cardiff's other centre forwards, personally.
I mean, there's only one striker who's doing well at West Brom. That's
who's that?
A certain Welshman, isn't it? Hal Robson-Kearney. Charlie Austin's struggling for goals.
Any
as is Ken.
Questions for Blakey?
I've already drawn up a release squad. I've got it on my phone. There's question marks on some, and some that I would definitely be looking to move on.
But who are they then?
Well, I'm not going to say it's not fair. But that question was a very good question.
Give us a tantalising glimpse into what
I'll show you once we come off air, no problem.
Oh, that's teasing, isn't it? Okay, one last question. Bit of a thinker. Don't know who it's from. Matt didn't write down who it's from, so we'll...
How are you doing, who it's from?
Yeah, whoever it is, thank you for the question. Any future for Bobby Reid at Cardiff? Scored last night.
Bobby Reid?
Yeah.
Well, I was a bit left field. I thought he was.
Well, it's because he only went on loan.
It's loan, isn't it?
That's the reason.
What's his contract? Well,
I thought
though,
I thought he had signed for Fulham.
Well, it's a 10 million. It's a loan with a view to a £10 million deal. Yeah. So I suppose there was always a who was the question from? There was a glimmer.
Nobody.
All right, there's a glimmer of hope from no that Bobby Reid could actually come back because technically you can recall a loan player. I suspect that's what the That's what the question.
So
about.
The question, please again.
Well, he hadn't been involved with Fulham.
Any future for Bobby Reid at Cardiff?
There's always a future. Maybe, you know, you never know what the future holds, Ben. It's as simple as that. And if Cardiff were... Look, he's probably signed a 5-year deal at Cardiff. Was he had 18 months of it?
Something like that.
Yeah, another year, you know, end of this season. Look, in the next season, things have transitioned a bit further. Why not? It's a possibility. I'd never write it off and say, no, he's too good a player to just say, you know, write off and see you later. You know, the only sadness is we never got to see really anything of him.
No. Okay, I think that's it for the question. So, last point to touch on is the match this weekend. Neil Harris is third in charge. Little trip to Nottingham Forest.
Yeah, tricky game. Really tricky game. You know, great club, good manager at the moment. Decent team, you know. Were, you thought at one point I thought automatic, but it was early on in the season. But you know, regardless of where I think where they are in the league, it's always going to be a difficult place to go and win.
Yeah.
Nottingham Forest. So anything out of that game is a big bonus. A win would be huge.
So prediction? Yeah, come on. I've been away from this podcast for a while, but I know the format.
prediction. I'll go. Just remind me. Can you remind me where Forest are in the league at the moment?
Like seventh, something like that.
Yeah, I know they ran playoffs, didn't they? I think we'll struggle up there. I think it'll be difficult. But I'll go 1-1.
That's your heart, not your head. Your head is indicating defeat for Cardiff City there.
No, say I what think you really we're think. No. I'm actually.
It's not
saying,
like you to hold back, Blakey.
I'm actually thinking with the players we have to hand at the moment. We've got a draw at Charlton, a win at home. You know, they're only a couple of points, a couple of places above you. It's not like you're taking on someone who's like flying high, like a Leeds or West Brom. So there's not a lot in the two between the two teams, so that's why I'm kind of going with the draw option rather than they beat us or we beat them, because I don't see a lot between the two.
Ben, what do you think
that way?
There's a very good chance I won't be on this podcast next week, so I'll go 1-0 Forest.
Okay.
Good show. It's been a really good show.
You're not going to be that easy.
Hold on a minute. He's lighting fires and then he's off ski. He's a fire starter. Come on, mate. What's your prediction?
Do you know what?
Oh, just give me your prediction.
No, there's context to it. And I'll say why. Because I know you'll be a little bit dismissive of this, but sometimes you get bogey teams in football.
I agree with that.
Tottenham never win at Anfield, for example.
Belgium Wales.
Yeah.
And Cardiff, a Forest bogey team, in the last 12 meetings, Cardiff have won 10 of them, you know?
Okay.
Home and away.
Cardiff Leeds
is another one, yeah? And so on the basis of that, I'm going to predict a 2-0 win for Cardiff at the City Ground and the away duck to be broken.
And you said a draw and he said you're going with your heart.
Look, I take his prediction.
There we go.
Every day.
There we go. That's it for this podcast. Back again next week when I think Glenn will hopefully be back in the hot seat. You can catch all the latest Cardiff City news on Wales Online.
Subscribe to The Boot Room on iTunes or listen on walesonline.co.uk.